to the Incoherent Fangirl.
Where we are back from our break for a mid-break interview, and through the magic of editing, we're going to change clothes in a minute.
Then we'll be back.
Yeah.
I'm Karen.
And I'm Mandy.
And welcome to a very special episode of the Incoherent Fangirl.
It's a mini-sode. It's a baby.
It's just a little baby, and it's gonna be so much fun, and we're so excited for y'all to listen. So, without further ado. That sound means we have an intruder alert.
You guys, I've been fangirling about this intruder. Like, I feel like
Since the
Mrs.
moment.
Nash's Ashes was like forever ago. Yeah.
So we're so excited. We have Sarah Adler here. Today we're going to talk about Finders Keepers. I'm so
My
excited.
Kindle is dead because I did not know that I record a podcast every Thursday.
Yes, very, very, very
This
silly. It snuck up on you.
is news to me.
Welcome, Sarah. Thank you so much for being here. So the first thing we usually ask is if you could give us like an elevator pitch of the book for anybody who hasn't heard of it.
Sure, with the caveat that I haven't done this a lot for this one yet, so this might not be very good. Finders Keepers is my estranged childhood best friend's to enemies to lovers treasure hunt rom-com, and it is basically about two 30-somethings who have kind of hit rock bottom in their personal and professional lives and find themselves living next to each other again as adults after 17 years of silence between them, and they decide to resume the hunt for the local treasure that tore them apart as teenagers. And as in all my books, chaos ensues.
The best kind of chaos. I love it so much.
It's the Goonies meets like Outer Banks, but everybody's all grown up. Like, it's in the best way. Like, where did this come from? Where did this story come from?
A couple different places. When we first moved into our house, we live in a townhouse, and there's like a little boy next door, and I have a daughter, and I was just like, oh, that would be like so cute if they like grow up and date, which that was like a weird thought. I don't know, she was like two at the time. But it was just kind of a like nice to have kids in the neighborhood thing. But I did start to think about like the friends I had as a kid and like what it was like to like play with neighborhood kids and like how that was like kind of a special friendship, and how if I had had like a boy in my neighborhood when I was around that age, like I don't know like if I could have gotten through that without having a crush, because like at that age I had a crush on everyone.
Same.
And so there was like that part of it. And then Nina and Quentin started out as characters in a different idea I had, where they were still living next to each other again after a long time, but it was like they were going to resume a prank war. And my agent was like, that's very cute, but like, let's table that idea. It's not quite it yet. And so eventually, when we were brainstorming for book three, I was like, I'm thinking of something where it's like maybe a treasure hunt sort of thing. And she was like, I really like that. Keep going. And eventually I remembered these two characters that I had kind of abandoned but loved, and was like, wait a second, I can finally like bring them back in and do something with Nina and Quentin. And this sort of like analog of my, town that I've created. And yeah, so it was kind of just like a right time, right place. Finally, all the puzzle pieces connected to each other and it worked out.
Oh
I
my
love
gosh.
that. That's so
Yeah.
fun. Nina might just be like one of my favorite characters, if not my favorite character of like all time. She feels like so much. I feel like I see so much of myself in her. And I love her so much. So this is kind of like a two-part question. How did you go about kind of creating her character? And how much of it did you get from My Teenage Diaries? Because that's really what it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, so I have been dealing with anxiety for most of my life, depression and anxiety, but especially the anxiety as an adult. And there is kind of like another universe where I became a professor instead of finishing my master's and then not doing anything else. And so it was pretty easy for me to kind of put myself in the headspace I think I would have been in if I had wound up in that situation. Anxious people are really drawn to academia. I think it's like
That's so
probably
real.
constant feedback. Your self-worth is like very like kind of wrapped up in your work, and it's kind of easy to get that like dopamine boost. It's not unlike publishing, quite
You
honestly. It's
had to
also why
hold this
a lot of academics.
mirror up, right?
I
You
know a
had
lot
to
of
do
academics
that.
also wind up in publishing when they leave academia, or I know a few people who do both. But yeah, I think it was like very much kind of an alternate universe me. If you know, my anxiety was mostly under control, but I was also in this like really cutthroat, toxic, kind of unfair environment that universities often are. I think I didn't know it at the time, but I was venting a lot of frustration towards the academy, I think.
That's fair.
I mean,
That's fair.
fair.
That's, I mean, that's what we do as writers, right? That's how we work out our own problems.
Yeah, absolutely. So Quentin leaves a glamorous job in France to come back to America, and I could not relate any less if I tried, because you could not pull me back here for a thing. So what's the writing process like for the situation of like you have this cool good thing going, but it's not the right good. So we're gonna turn your world upside down to get you to your right good.
I mean, to be fair, it wasn't really that he just up and left.
Yeah.
It was that he was forced to leave.
I'd be kicking and screaming.
It was more of a like, okay, well, under these circumstances, you no longer work here. And then, you know, under
Yeah.
those circumstances, you no longer have a visa to stay in France, and therefore you must leave.
Please let me stay.
Let me
I'll
stay.
cash
Yeah.
receipt. Don't make
So, yeah, I mean, also, you gotta remember, I was writing this in a different time. So, there was still a lot of
Fair.
life in my heart, and it wasn't as like absurd that somebody would choose to come back to the United States necessarily from abroad. And yeah, I
That's
mean,
fair.
it's funny because when I first started writing, I really had trouble being mean to my characters. Like, I could not do it. It hurt me too much. And now I'm just like, yeah, you have lost your boyfriend and your job and your apartment, and you have lost your fiance and your job and your like place in France, and you are now really
Losers.
sad and alone and not sure what's next. Enjoy. Like, and that didn't hurt me at all. It was more of just like I am going to use you for my own devices now. And so that's been fun to see how I've grown as a writer. I've gotten more sadistic.
Love that so much.
Oh God, I'm so scared for book four.
Book four.
Oh. Oh no.
Book four. I will say I have never written such a pathetic man. But like
I
parentheses
love a
affectionate.
pathetic man.
No, we love it. We love it.
Pathetic, affectionate.
Yes.
He is going through it, and he's really struggling. But in a, my editor says he's endearing, and I happen to agree. So yeah, book
Oh
four,
no.
Dog
I
Tooth
cannot
Chase.
wait.
I think people are gonna like it.
Oh, I
He's
love.
much drier than Quentin. A much drier wit. Lots of sarcasm.
You're writing it for me. I love like the dry sense of humor, kind of sarcastic, but I like yearning,
Eat
pining
it
is
up.
my favorite. Like I
Eat
want
it
like
up.
yes.
No
I want
crumbs.
you to be pathetic.
Please.
Love it.
Okay. So, I would like to know, this is just very selfishly, is there a recipe for this banana bread with the cookie butter swirl? Because I would like to have it.
Yes. I've never made it myself because it involves too many steps and I'm too lazy right now to be doing that. But it's actually there was a bakery in my town owned by a woman from England named Liz. Shout out to Liz, if she happens to be listening to this. And she made her banana bread that way, and it was the best banana bread. It was my favorite, my daughter's favorite banana bread. Sadly, she had to move back to England, so I don't know if they're still making. Somebody bought the bakery. I don't know if they're still using her recipe, but I did look it up, and there are recipes for it online that do seem to be the way she did it. So yeah, if you pretty much just
Literally,
Google, like,
the moment that
cookie butter
came
cream
up, I was
puffs.
like, I need to know. Like, I need to know if there's a specific recipe I need to look out for because that sounds amazing. I know
Yeah,
that has like
I.
really nothing to do with the whole entirety of the book, but I was like, oh my
No,
God.
no, no. It definitely was like a shout out to her because originally it was like banana bread with chocolate chips. And then I was like, no. Banana bread with the cookie butter swirl. Shout out to Liz. I still like message with her sometimes. And I'm like, please, can you mail from, like, can you mail me those? Like,
Please.
mail
Oh, I
them. I'll take
love.
shipping make sure so that I
Right.
don't have to actually make this.
Oh, I love
Oh my
that. I love
gosh.
it. Oh,
That
sorry.
is really
That
special.
was very, very, very selfishly. I just really wanted to know.
We always joke that, like, if there's a notable, like, food item in the book, we almost need a trigger warning so we know to have that food.
Right. Because
Because it's
I.
like you get hangry when you're like hearing it, reading it described. You're like, I'm
God damn it,
drooling
I
all
want
over
this.
Yeah, I think one of the coolest things ever was when somebody actually made some of the recipe, like made some of the foods from Jose Napoleone's in Mrs. Nash. Like somebody actually like made the cilantro focaccia with the like pico de gallo bruschetta and like tagged me in the video, and I was just like, oh my God, this is the
That
coolest
is
thing on earth.
so cool. My
Oh
goodness.
my
They said it was
God.
good.
I'm glad to know because I just like completely made those things up, and I was like, I think it sounds good.
I love that.
I have to do that now because I did that with our friend Robbie Couch wrote a book and he had like blue brownies
Brownies.
in it and he sent
Yes.
out a re like he gave a recipe as like a pre-order and sent it or whatever and I like made a video and made them. They were so good. That's like a cool series that someone could do on TikTok is like I'm gonna make recipes from books that I love.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be really
That would be
fun.
really cool.
Yeah, because like Lindsay Hameroff sent out a blueberry pancake recipe with her debut,
Yes.
Till There Was You.
Yes.
Or is that the second one? I don't know. I
I
like both
think
of her
so.
books.
I think
Can't
that's the name of
remember
it.
which title is it.
I know
Yeah.
exactly what you're talking about, and I still dream of those blueberry pancakes. So, like,
Yes. They're on the cover and they're standing on them, and I'm like, I want pancakes that large,
give
please.
me
Right?
that.
I want to
Like, my
bounce around on some
God.
pancakes. Like a trampoline.
Oh man, that would be awesome. And then there's like a moat of syrup in case you fall and it'll protect you and
Right.
also maybe kill you because actually I think you can
That is
like die in that.
so. Yeah, you probably drown.
You know what? I'd die happy.
Okay.
I'd die happy.
So when you're not throwing out these food items that are making us hangry, what is your writing process like? Are you like a plotter, pantser, a planter?
I guess I'm a planter slash I like the term capri pantser. Or I think Ellie Hazelwood once called it a panty liner. But like it's one of those things where as I've done this more and more, the process has changed a lot for each book. And I think some of that is just what's required from my publisher. Like usually I can't just give them an idea and they trust me on it, which I think that's because that's what they did with Happy Medium, and then they were like, "Okay, that was a little weird. Maybe we should like put some guardrails on you." But I do have to like write out a synopsis in order to sell a book, and so I've gotten kind of used to having to do that, and I'm less resistant to it than I used to be. A lot of times, I will just do what I call like a stream of consciousness outline or a loose outline, where I kind of describe each chapter that I'm thinking of in stream of consciousness. Do not care if it makes sense, not complete sentences. We'll switch between like third and first person. Mostly it's just dialogue that I'm know that I want to put in each part. And then later on when I'm writing that part, I already have some of it written. I can pull it in. I just have to like make it make sense. But I will say for book four, for Wild Goose Chase, it was just like a, okay, I got like 3 months, let's do this. And it was the fastest, easiest book I've ever written, and it was a mess. And I sent it to my editor without even my husband reading it. Usually he reads everything I write, like the day I write it. And even he, I was like, nope, you're not even, it's not even fit for consumption
It
with me.
has to go.
I need to get this out of my hands.
And thankfully my editor was like, very, very pleased with it and was like, this is like some of your best work. And
Hey.
I was like, wow, really? And she's like, I was a little worried, honestly. Which when you said you hadn't like read back through it, but it's really, really good. So that was a really unusual experience for me to write that way. I think Finders Keepers took a lot longer, something like 9 months, I think, to draft the first draft. So yeah, I think my process is really book dependent, life dependent, deadline dependent. I think I'm motivated by a deadline. Because otherwise I'm just like, oh, I got time, I'll take a nap today. So
That's
yeah,
fair.
I think we finally have found the hack to my brain to get me to work quickly is like, give me a deadline that's too tight and I'll make it and then some. So
I love that though,
Oh my
because it's I
gosh.
love hearing like how authors have to how their brains work essentially, because it's like everybody's so different and it's just like it's nice getting a little peek behind the curtain. Like, okay, this is fun. So speaking of like writing, you did mention you have a daughter. Do you find that you have to have some sort of like structure or plan for your day in order to write around her schedule? Because I know I have my daughter and I'm like, writing is hard.
Yeah, I mean, I'm lucky in a lot of ways. I'm really fortunate. And she's almost 7, so she is in school, which has been hugely helpful, I have to say, because it does kind of guarantee me at least a few hours a day to get stuff done. I also have an extremely supportive husband who makes sure that if I have him on deadline or something and need time, that he's, taking care of stuff. And I also he also works from home, so that eases a lot of the burden too of like, if I last minute can't like go pick up from school, he can and things like that. And also this is my full-time job, which is like the most like fortunate thing of all, I think. I know a lot of people who by choice or not are balancing, a full-time career plus a writing career on top of it. And that plus parenting, I think would be like, I don't know how I would manage that. But for me, because it's my job, because I have those kinds of structures in place, I do kind of know what my days are going to look like for the most part. And then if, there's a curveball, I can adjust. And then that's not to say that like curveballs don't happen. I mean, my husband does work for an organization, so he technically should like be working when he's supposed to be. So I can only ask so much of him. And so if like my daughter's homesick, or if like there's an appointment or an after school activity that starts at 4:30, like I am the parent who has the more flexible schedule. And sometimes that can get a little frustrating. But I think in some ways, the less, again, this goes back to maybe deadlines are good for me. I think the more pressure I have to ha like get something done in the time that I actually have, the better I use my time. I'm less likely to lose focus, less likely to convince myself it's not necessary to like do any work. So even when I'm like frustrated because there's like a week in October where they're randomly off for like 3 days and then have like a
For
two
what
hour
reason?
Yeah.
early, and I'm just like, I don't, things like
Why?
that, I really like make better use of the time I do have, I think. So yeah, I mean, it's a balancing act. And when she was little, it was a lot of nap time writing, or like switching off when my husband got home from work kind of stuff. But I think without a supportive partner or like family or someone who can kind of tag team as necessary, it's way harder. And like people who still manage to write without those support structures, like they're amazing. Especially when they're also working. That's way beyond what my brain can handle.
I love that. I love I it's like hard for me to wrap my mind around like how to manage time in general. So I'm like I love hearing kind of how you do that. It gives me hope for myself.
Yeah, I mean that simplifies things because what you're not seeing is that I have a planner and also two calendars and also like several different to-do lists that don't always match up because I forget to update them all. So it is kind of just like a, well, I'm hoping I'm not missing anything important situation, but that's I mean,
That is
I
so
think
relatable
being
in such a
it's
mood,
life.
though. Like, yeah.
It's life.
Yeah.
So we don't want to keep you too much longer, but we do have a few questions that we always ask our guests. Okay, the first is we have a segment that we call Fictional Boyfriend of the Week, where we pick our favorite fictional character that we experienced that week. So it doesn't have to be a boyfriend. Karen's had a fictional granny. I've had a fictional son, fictional pets. Doesn't have to be in a book. It could be movies, TV. We've had video game characters. So do you have like a fictional character that you were like, that is my favorite, that is my boo thing, that is my best friend? This is where like every media that you've ever consumed just
It's
leaves your
gone.
brain.
I know. I literally just finished a book where I really like the guy, and now I'm completely forgetting his name. His name was Will. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so I just finished reading Back After This by Linda Holmes, in preparation for when I'm in conversation with her and Sarah Goodman Confino at the Gaithersburg Book Festival later this month. And the mailman character in that book is just like, I don't know, he's got the perfect kind of charm and sense of humor. His name is Will, and he's a waiter and also a photographer. And their meet cute is like they meet while rescuing like a Great Dane that escaped from its handler, and they like lure him with peanut butter. And then she's like, "Your dog's so cute." And he's like, "It's not actually my dog. I was getting my hair cut and I saw him running and I like chased after him." So he's got like half his hair cut and like is still wearing the like cape from the
Oh
haircut place.
my God. It sounds like a dream.
I love him
Yeah,
already.
he's just like the perfect mixture of that I love of charming and funny and direct with her. Like he's not like coy about his interests, but he's not creepy. And I think Linda Holmes did such a good job writing somebody that it's like, yes, if she didn't end up with him, I would like rage quit everything.
I
I'm
love leaving Earth today.
love it. Love it.
Thank goodness it's a romance, or I would not be okay.
All right, so kind of along the same lines, I mean, we're obsessed with your books. We have been dreaming of this
Been
for a while.
screaming about,
So excited.
yeah.
Like, I think when we got the email about like you possibly
I
having
die. I
one,
passed away.
we were like, oh wait, there's no
I
question.
passed
Like, this has to
away.
happen. So we will continue to be shouting about your books, especially this one. I'm obsessed. Anyways, but we want to know, like, what are you reading? What are you recommending? And it doesn't necessarily have to be like right now, if you have like an all-time favorite that you want to recommend, anything like that.
I relatively recently read When the Tides Held the Moon by Vanessa Vita Kelly. It just came out, and I read an arc, and they are both a writer and an illustrator, and so there are really amazing illustrations within the book. But it takes place in the early 20th century on in Coney Island, at one of the amusement parks there, which like is catnip for my like history master's degree. And it's about like a young Puerto Rican man who basically accidentally joins this like sideshow and helps them steal a merman from the ocean, and he falls in love with the merman, and it's just I love it so much. It was like one of the best things I've ever
Oh,
read
that
in my life.
sounds amazing.
It's perfect. It has no right being as good as it is. Like, it's unfair that they are able to both write and draw at like as well as they do. Like,
People are
one
such
person do something.
show-offs
Yeah,
with
like how
that.
dare you? Can you
Stay in
just
your lane. A lane.
My gosh. Oh, I love it.
Okay, so you touched on it slightly, but book four, what are you allowed to tell us about what comes next?
So it's been announced, so I'm allowed to tell you, I guess, almost anything I want. Gonna stop me, really. It's called Wild Goose Chase. It is about sort of rival antique dealers who wind up with an illegal taxidermy goose that they then lose and have to go find again. There's a lot about bird law. It literally starts with an excerpt of the Migratory Bird Treaty Act of
My
1918.
favorite.
Wait, I love this.
Why, like, this is a problem. There's like a historical B plot with a female ornithologist in the early 20th century, and a newspaper man slash illustrator, which it's not to spoil anything, but that part takes place in a place you might be familiar with, Catoctin, Maryland, where there are little shout outs to Fountain and his seltzer company. And yeah, it's like I said, it's one of the fastest things I've ever written. And I love it so much. It's wacky. There's a mannequin warehouse in
Oh my gosh, it sounds like a
the
blast. Like,
middle. Yeah. I mean, we already
I'm
know
sold.
that, though.
Sold. I need it now. So this is the part where we do have to give you
Oh
a little
yeah,
bit of
here's
bad
that bad
news.
news.
But now that you have been on the podcast, you're actually legally obligated to come back for all future book releases.
Nice.
So sorry,
Not
not sorry.
sorry. That's okay.
But in the
So we'll see
meantime,
you for book four.
we will see you for book four. I already know I love it. Like, based on this premise alone, I'm like, this is the perfect book. Like, I'm sorry, it sounds amazing. I can't wait. But in the meantime, we will be telling everybody to go read Finders
My dead
Keepers.
Kindle.
By the time this episode actually airs, the book will be out, so you can go into a store and pick it up. And you should do that. And you should also pick up Sarah's other books because they're just as excellent. I literally just binged your other two recently, and I'm just like, where have you been all my life? Why have I not read these sooner? So I'm very, very excited about everybody getting to read this. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, Sarah. This has been so much fun.
Thank you. This has
Thank
been a
you. It's been an
blast.
absolute pleasure.
We can't
All right.
wait for everybody
Well,
to read it, and we can't wait for the next time.
I know. We'll see you for book four.
Yay! Sounds good.
All right.
All right. We'll talk
Bye.
to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. I love her.
I love her. I love her. I love
That
her. I
feels
love
like
her.
years in the making because I feel like I've talked about Mrs. Nash's Ashes like
At least 2 years ago.
at least 2 years ago.
At
Yeah.
least. At least. Yeah. Yeah.
That was crazy.
That was so cool. Seriously, when you first talked about Mrs. Nash's Ashes, I was like, this book sounds amazing. And then I
Yeah.
read it and I was like, this book is amazing.
This book is amazing. Yeah.
And then I read Happy Medium and I'm like, oh my God, it gets better. And
I
now
love
Finders Keeper, I'm
her.
like, oh my God, it keeps getting better. Like, I love her. It's so good. Everybody go pick up her books, please. I beg of you.
And if you're on Patreon,
Oh, hello.
Poochie's here begging for attention.
Love. He just wants love. Just some love.
Just a little baby, that's all. He's just a baby.
He's just a
I did
baby.
take him to the vet today.
Oh.
Not a fan. Two shots later,
Poor baby.
he screamed and cried and tried to bite the needle. It was a whole
Oh,
mess.
no. Hi, baby.
But he
Oh.
is healthy, no concerns.
Good.
He's had some tummy issues, so they gave him some meds just to make sure that that gets knocked out. But
He's all good.
they were like, "We're a fan here."
Yay.
And he's got a tag, ladies and gents, and theys
Yes.
and thems.
Love, love, love.
So
Love,
he's
love, love.
official. He's
Yay.
official.
He's officially a Purvis.
He's a Purvis, this poor guy.
No, he's got the best home.
He does.
He's got the best
Purvis
home.
dogs have better lives than a lot of children, so.
Truer words have never been spoken.
I mean, I would be George Bailey over being any kid on this earth right now. He goes on vacations. He sleeps in a king size bed. He does what he wants.
Love, love, love. Love, love, love.
And now we're back in our original clothes for Patreon.
The
What? How
magic.
did they do that? We just
Magic.
snapped. I'm not gonna snap because if I snapped,
Oh,
our clothes
yeah.
would change back.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
Too much power in these hands.
All right, friends, if you enjoyed this little mini-sode, please like, follow, and subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to us on. Follow us on social media. We are at The Incoherent Fangirl on all the things. You can visit our website, theincoherentfangirl.com, where you can also stream all of our episodes as well as read our blog. And of course, you can subscribe to our Patreon for early access to podcast episodes, full video episodes, and bonus content. You can also, fun times, go do some shopping at our merch store, theincoherentfangirl.com/shop. Lots of cute stuff designed by Mandy over there. And if you have any comments, questions, concerns, suggestions, design ideas you want to tell us that we're pretty, we will accept all of that in our inbox, theincoherentfangirl@gmail.com. We love hearing from y'all.
Yes.
And of course, one last way to support the podcast is to rate and review on whatever platform you're listening to us on. Please give us your words. We love
We
those.
love your
Big
words.
fans, so do that.
Yeah.
She is at Mandy Perv on all the things.
She's at Ms. Made in China on all the things.
And once you followed us on social media and you followed the podcast on social media, you're gonna go and do some self-care because we love you and we want you to take care of yourself, okay?
Yes.
First stop, you're gonna get some cute pins and artsy goodies from our friends at Here Comes the Nerd at herecomesthenerd.com. Use code Fangirl and you'll get 20% off your first order.
Look at you go. Then you're going to head to onceuponabookclub.com. We have two codes to choose from. They don't stack, but we love you no matter which one you choose. You can use either code Karen10 or Mandy10 for 10% off, but you have to spell Karen right or you're not going to get any summer break at all.
No,
Ever.
that's awful.
Sorry.
Please spell my
That
name
is
right.
awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you're going to visit our friend Amber D. Lewis at amberdlewis.com because we love her and she writes us excellent, excellent books, which you
Yeah.
should add like 10 of to your cart because then you can use code FANGIRL10 and you'll get 10% off all 10 of them, which means mathematically one of them is free. So you're welcome.
I mean, we just keep trying to tell you we're math wizards. And then last but not least, you're gonna go support the show husband on I'm trying to say podcast. Support the show husband. You have three different ways to do it. You can go subscribe to streambeacontv.com, which is our new streaming platform, which is paranormal, horror, true crime content. If you go to streambeacontv.com and use code FANGIRL10, you'll get 10% off. And you can follow at streambeacontv on all the things. Then you can go listen to and follow at Searchers Podcast on all the things. Spooky stories. I'm there a lot. It's a good time. And then you can also go follow at Searchers Believe on everything. That's the paranormal investigation group. And if you go to searchersbelieve.com/shop and get some Searchers merch designed by me, if you use code FANGIRL10, you'll get 10% off. And that
Yay!
is how you support the show husband and in turn me getting more books and stuff. So
We support
much
this.
obliged.
We support this. And that is our
That was a
short
little bitty baby sode.
little baby episode of The Incoherent Fangirl. Again, we'll
Thank
see y'all in
you.
August. We love
We love
you.
you. Bye.
Bye.
We are sponsored by our friends at Here Comes the Nerd. Pins, stickers, magnets, and more. Here Comes the Nerd has happy art for all fandom-loving hearts. New customers can use coupon code FANGIRL during checkout for 20% off their first order at herecomesthenerd.com. Coupon applies to ready-to-ship items only.